This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this month is the start of a series. Actually, this is part one of the series. It might take about 3 or 4 parts to complete. But this series is was published back in September of the year 2010. It's now being put on audio in the month of March of the year 2024. So we're talking about, it's not quite 14 years or so that this message was first published. But the reason why I give you the dates is because that during the reading of this message, I might make reference to some people, places, things, or events that took place at that particular time when the message was first published that may or may not be relevant today. However, as I always say though, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries 6,000 years from now, His word will still be relevant. And those that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives according to it. Now, our subject scripture for this series is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 1, and verse number 21. And as I said, this is for September of 2010. And we will find these words recorded. This is an angel speaking to Mary about the event that's going to take place in her life when she is going to bring forth a son. And the angel says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I correct that. It was the angel speaking to Joseph about what was getting ready to happen to Mary. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, the angel said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from," and I'll underline "from," I'll emphasize the word "from," but when we get further into the message, you'll see why I emphasize that he will save his people from their sin. The title of this message, the subject is "God Bless America?" That's a question. And then the statement behind it is, "Don't count on it." In other words, God bless America, don't count on it. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains, through the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. This song, which has a very special meaning to many in this country, is known for its short and to-the-point message, which calls on God to bless this entire nation and everyone in it, no matter where they are or on what economic level they find themselves. Now, consider the words and you will see there is no call to bless any particular segment of this nation, but rather to bless all of us. For truly, anyone that names the name of Christ would not be selfish in calling on God for to just to bless them. As a preacher once said in an example of a selfish prayer, it's a prayer that goes like this: Lord, bless me, my wife, my two kids, us four and no more. The reason being, if one of us is blessed and others are in need, then we may find ourselves, and rightly so, having to share our blessings with those that are not as blessed as we are. If the entire land were blessed, everyone in it would be on the same level, and there would be no envy, hatred, or any other conflict that is usually labeled as us versus them. That, my friends, is a nice way of thinking, and beseeching God for that is a good thing. The only problems would be people who are not satisfied being equal with everyone else. They want to be above or have more, whatever the case might be that you want to consider. However, in all of this, there is one thing that most of us, I am using us generically because I have long since changed my way of thinking, that have failed to consider. And that one thing is the very thing that will keep this nation from being the fulfillment of the vision that we would want it to be, and that is blessed. Is God capable of giving us what we ask for in this song? Most definitely, yes. Will he do it? Not as long as things stay the way that they are. You see, God is most definitely willing and able to fulfill his part in blessing this nation, but he will only do it if we meet his prerequisites, conditions, or requirements. And herein lies the problem. If you will listen to the subject verse or look at the subject verse if you're reading it, most of you recognize it as being the prophecy that an angel of the Lord gave to Joseph, and he actually gave it to Mary as well, as pertaining to the child that she was going to give birth to. He was going to be the savior of his people. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is this. He did not come to save the world, but rather his people. There is a big difference in what we want to believe about the mission of Christ and what his mission and that of the church today is. True. Christ did come so that every single solitary person that walks the face of the earth could be saved from the punishment of sin. However, the only way for that to occur is if they become his followers or become saved. Now, look at the subject verse again. Do you see that little four-letter word that is, well, if you're reading this from the tract, you'll see that the word is underlined. If not, remember I said the word I was emphasizing to you? Well, we'll get on further and you'll see what the word is. That word, as insignificant as it may seem, is the single biggest problem this nation has as to why we will never see God's blessing on this nation the way we ask Him to. The reason He won't do it is because we want him to bless us while we are still in our sins. However, in order for him to save and bless us, he has to separate us from our sins. You see, in this nation, which has been blessed abundantly by God, is in serious trouble. The reason being, it has slipped away from the position it was in back some 50 or more years ago. Now see, this is an instance. When I said 50 or so years ago, that was back in 2010. Now it's about close to, you might say, 70 years or so. But that's why I say, you know, I'll try to give you a heads up when I am referring to something that I'm addressing from what happened back then compared to what's happening now while I'm recording this. But anyway, let's go on. At that time, even though it was not perfect, talking about the nation, it was making strides to acknowledge God and His commandments. It strove to be all that God wants it to be. And God, in return, supplied the blessings that made us the greatest nation on earth. It's like we would take one step towards godliness and He would take two steps towards blessing us. However, as time marched on, things started happening that slowed the progress, then stopped it, and then started reversing it as the people began to rebel against the laws of the land that acknowledged God or Jesus Christ. Just like the children of Israel, after all the blessings God gave them, especially after he delivered them from Egypt, they got out into the wilderness, headed for the promised land, and what happened? When God gave Moses the laws and commandments that they were to live by before they crossed over to the promised land, and he told the people, they rebelled. Mind you now, these were the same people who cried and moaned and pleaded to God for nearly 400 years while in bondage. These are the same people that witnessed the plagues that God sent on Egypt, especially the death of the firstborn. These are the same people that saw God split the Red Sea so that they could go over on dry land. Yet, the minute God gives them rules to live by, they had a fit. I mean, they turned on Moses and wanted to kill him. They began to say they wished they were back in Egypt, where there was plenty of food for them to eat. I mean, they got downright rebellious. And though their anger was directed at Moses, the fact that Moses was God's anointed and was following his directions, God viewed this as an attack on himself, talking about God. Well, what was the result? They suffered and died in the wilderness. Every last one of them that had rebelled against God died before the remnant of those that were delivered from Egypt, that followed God's directions through Moses, and the new generation of children that were born in the wilderness to the parents that had been disobedient and rebellious to God, were able to go into that promised land. That situation is being played over again right here in this nation. How is that? We have a bunch of people that want to experience the promised land blessings, but they don't like the rules. There are people in this country that fled from their own country because of bad conditions, talking about dictatorships, poverty, famine, hopelessness, misery, disease, and whatever. They fled their land to come to America, the land that God had blessed abundantly because we were founded on the principles of His Word, putting our faith in Christ. These other people, hearing about the land of opportunity, or in other words, the promised land, America was the promised land to them. did whatever they had to do to get here. And after they got here and started to get their lives turned around and started prospering, then they started to murmur and complain about some of our laws, usually those that reflected this nation's Christian heritage, that they felt offended by, and began to fight against those laws so that they could pursue their own religious belief from their own homeland. Now, I want you to think about this, and I mean no disrespect to anyone, but if the God that you served in your home country wasn't doing anything for you except letting you suffer and die, then why would you want to come over here to get away from that suffering, then want to return back to that God that you were serving that let you suffer and die in your homeland, in rebellion to the God of this nation that has blessed you? In other words, evidently the God you were serving in your homeland wasn't able to do anything for you worth anything to make you want to stay there and be content and happy and prosperous. No, you were doing everything you could, risking your life, saving up every last nickel and dime you had to get away from it, because that God wasn't doing you no good over there. And then you want to come over here and then turn around and want to get angry because the God of this nation, the Christian God, Jesus Christ, has made this nation the blessings that God poured out on this nation because of our faith in Christ, made us the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And now you're going to be offended because this God, which invited you to come over here in the first place, because he's willing to take you in and show you his love and mercy and grace for you, but you want to turn it around and not be satisfied with that. Well, anyway, let's get back to the message. But anyway, do you see how foolish that is? But however, it gets worse, because people in this nation that were born here and have enjoyed God's blessings all their lives want to join these people and take up their cause and even worship their God as well. Some don't even want to acknowledge God at all. They want to deny that he even exists. And as their numbers grew, they began to pass laws that essentially reflected their rebellion against him, talking about the God of this nation, or more or less, Christ. As I look at the absolute foolishness that passes for intelligence in the things some people do in this nation, it reminds me of these scriptures. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, and Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 25 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, where we find these words recorded. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse number 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The smarter we think we are getting, the dumber we are actually becoming. Anytime a nation can come up with some of the most ludicrous notions that it does in spite of the facts which it refuses to look at, then that nation is on a fast track to destruction. Let me give you the most glaring example of this foolishness that I am talking about. Abortion. Here we have the miracle of birth being turned into an inconvenience which can be arbitrarily done away with because it is nothing more than a tumor or some parasite that needs to be gotten rid of. Never mind what God says about it. Never mind what the ultrasound images show. Never mind what millions of women that have had the procedure experienced afterwards. The guilt, the sense of loss, the depression, and other things. Our response is to ignore God's word. Don't look at the images. And to keep women from feeling of guilt and depression and the rest of what comes with it, we want to isolate them from having to be made to feel guilty. Notice, what they are endeavoring to do is say or stay with this abomination that is destroying their lives and this nation, while at the same time singing, God bless America. Think about it from this standpoint. Almost every day, the news gives us a running count of how many people of our military personnel have been killed in the wars that we are fighting, talking about over in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, and Iraq, and other places. Now, as of this writing, I believe it is somewhere near 5,000. I could be wrong, and they talk about how tragic it is. Now, like I'm saying, this was back in 2010 when I wrote this. So the numbers, depending on the circumstances, are higher than that. But we're not involved really in so many wars where we got that many people dying. But the thing is, the mere fact that we are saying that 5,000 of our military personnel, men and women, were killed and talking about how tragic it is. Now, compare that number with 56 million. That is the number of abortions that have occurred in this nation since 1972. That's 1.5 million per year and counting. Well, once again, this was in 2010. The number now is upwards of 77 million babies being aborted, all total. If the news media dared to announce that every day, they would probably be sued and have to shut down. Well, guess what, people? God is keeping track of the numbers, and He is doing something about it. His response is, since you refuse to acknowledge this abomination and are killing these babies that you say aren't human, I will not protect or bless those children of yours that you have with you that are living today. The end result is your kids are killing each other, dying of diseases that usually happen to old people. They are killing themselves by way of suicide, dying in accidents, and you name it. Well, that's all for this particular part one of this message, and we'll get into part two. But I hope you're beginning to see the absolute hypocrisy of this nation. And usually it's not everybody in the nation, but a lot of people that are praying and talking about God bless America all the time, you know, politicians and a lot of other people, especially, you know, the president, and then on down, you know, when they're speaking a lot of times or giving speeches, they're talking about God bless America. And some of the main ones that are talking about God bless America, they basically are a pariah as far as God is concerned, because they are the ones that go out here and support these laws that defy everything that God says, that lead to rebellion against what God says. Then they turn right around and then talk about, oh, and before I close, God bless America. And we got people in the Congress, in the Senate, mayors and advocates, activists and so forth, that support this atrocity, which is what it is, and basically want to keep it legal. Well, I'll get into that in part two, because by me saying keeping it legal, we know that it hasn't been long last year, I mean in 2022, the ruling by the Supreme Court that legalized abortion was basically eliminated, which made abortion not the law of the land, which meant states could either choose to fund abortions or reject abortions, and a lot of states did. But by the same token, since there was an upcoming election in 2022 that a lot of politicians ran on, that if you elect them, they were going to pass laws guaranteeing a woman's right to choose and make it the law of the land, which is where we find ourselves today. But anyway, I'll get back into that later on, probably as I close the series out. But anyway, in closing, let me just say this to you and your family. May God bless you and your families real good. Till we get together again for part two or whatever other messages that you might want to choose to listen to. I haven't recorded audio on all of them, so some of them have audio, some of them right now are just the plain written word, but I'll get to them if the Lord is willing and put them, transcribe them in the audio. But anyway, God bless you and your families real good. Until next time, good day.